Kane Radio, AM 1240, the voice of the Tesh. Now you're tuned in to What's Happening.
Very good afternoon, Acadiana. Teddy Sloman with you here in the air chair alone this week. My friend and colleague Ralph Boxcar Bergeron is visiting his son and new grandson in Texarkana, Texas. Probably headed back now. But we wish him well and with open arms welcome him back next week. But for now, you're stuck with me. 367-1240 is our number. 367-1240 if you want to talk golf with me over the next hour or so. Happy 4th of July, everybody. Hope and pray you have a good one. Take time out tomorrow when you're celebrating with your family, your friends, your loved ones. And say a prayer for our country as we celebrate our birthday. Say a prayer for our government leaders on the national, state, and local levels. We certainly know and appreciate the job they're doing. And hope and pray Almighty God continues to inspire them to do good for our country. Now we're going to golf. Let's thank our sponsors. Our main sponsor is Coca-Cola. The Lafayette Distributorship has an office here in New Iberia. And thanks to Mr. Lee Tadford, Coca-Cola sponsors quite a few things at Kane Radio. And we appreciate their efforts for supporting us in our local efforts as well. We want to thank the Tabasco Company, McElhenny and Company, that supplies us with the Tabasco golf shirts. That would be Mr. Cecil Emel and Angie Sharbert. We appreciate their contribution. And, of course, we don't have Boxcar here to give us a report from golfballs.com, one of our faithful sponsors. And I'm sure they're having a good weekend leading up into the 4th of July. As golf's a big menu. If you will, for holidayers doing the 4th of July. And a lot of the golf courses are full, so golfballs.com should be cooping up some of that revenue. And we hope they do. Hope they are. And, the guys at golfballs.com, we appreciate their sponsorship. And, of course, our local golf clubs, Squirrel Run, Spanish Trail, and Sugar Oaks. Didn't get a chance to visit with them this weekend. But I still have some news that was handed on down to me. Over at Spanish Trail, this is the third week in the row. I congratulate Dan Coriel. He had two eagles in one round, on number 3 and number 10 at Spanish Trail. So quite a feat there. And then Saturday and Sunday, July 8th and 9th, Spanish Trail is going to have their 23rd annual member tournament. Tee times begin at 8 a.m. both days. Entry fee is only $50. Popular tournament, as we always see here on Chip Shots. Spanish Trail has a strong membership for quite some time, and their members really participate and appreciate all of the local events they have at their golf course. And so they support them very well. And I'll be anxious to get results from that tournament, as we're familiar with most of their membership. 23rd annual member, July 8th and 9th at Spanish Trail, right down Highway 182. And also at Spanish Trail, they had the most recent Community First Bank Pro-Am with 99 players participating. First place went to Paul Walters, Glenn Bienvenue, Jody Menard, and Peter Jabia. They won $101 with a +8 team score, edging out with +7. Court Lee, Dan Desitel, Linda Savoy, and Will Broussard. The next Pro-Am is going to be held this coming Thursday, weather permitting, and the weather forecast looks pretty good through Thursday. Hot and dry, but we'll take the dry. We know we're going to get the heat this time of the year. But the dry part is uncertain. But Bayou Bend and Crowley is going to be the featured golf course for the next Community First Bank Pro-Am, and that's this Thursday. Looking forward to playing there and making that little road trip to Crowley. Then the next tournament after that, let's see, Squirrel Run swapped with I think it was Vermilion Oaks. So Vermilion Oaks will probably have the next Pro-Am in August. Have to check on that. Then down at Sugar Oaks, their most recent shootout was played. Nice turnout for the two-person team event. And by the way, they run their little shootout just like we run our Pro-Ams. It's a blind draw, so you don't know who your partner is. You draw for partners after play, so you have to continue to keep playing your best and hoping that you draw a good partner and hoping that your partner draws a good player as well. First place this past one went to Boyd Booty and Preston Barham. They were plus six and won $22 each. Boyd Booty being the CEO of the Gator Golf Club, which we'll give you information about in a bit. Second place went to Raymond Bonet and Jim Frith. They were plus four, and they won $13. Their next shootout is tentatively scheduled for the weekend of July 15th and 16th. It's one of those deals where you can play either day, Saturday or Sunday, or I reckon you can play both days and put up two entry fees. And also at Sugar Oaks, they're having their Twilight Scrambles on Wednesdays. And this past Wednesday, first place went to Olin Granger and Robert Burton, winning $15 each. Twilight Scramble out at Sugar Oaks. Fun thing to do. Catch it late in the afternoon on a Wednesday. Got a little meal after. Pretty nice. All right, we mentioned the Gator Golf Club. Their most recent event was played at Cassati Pines in Kinder. They have a strong membership. In fact, they have a waiting list to get into this. And it's because they travel to so many good golf courses around South Louisiana that it's really a bargain and worth it for these guys to put up the money they put up. And I'm not sure the exact fee, but it's minimal. It's nominal. And they travel around and play, and it's like a fraternity. These 36 or so guys, you know, have a camaraderie that, you know, you have when you play golf, and that's what makes it so much fun. And anyway, at Cassati Pines in the first flight, Jeremy Boudreau was plus four, and he was the winner. Second flight winner was Elvers Babineau Jr., plus eight. And third flight winner was Kent Kern with plus nine. Fourth flight winner, Bro Provo, plus 13. Their next event is going to be July 8th at Oak Wing in Alexandria. And they have a busy month for July as they are doing some makeup from rainouts. So Oak Wing will be this coming Saturday, July 8th. And then Atchafalaya and the Bluffs in St. Francisville will finish out the month of July. They have 1 week break and then two in a row. So thanks to Boyd Booty for getting me that result and all of these results that I get. Then over at Squirrel Run, another course that we feature here on Chip Shots. Yesterday, or rather today, Monday, was a fairly busy day. I was out there for a little while, and they asked golfers to book a tee time. You can book at Squirrel Run on golfnow.com. You can book online, and you get some reduced rates. And they were asking, you know, to book for tomorrow for the 4th of July, and I'm sure it's going to be really busy. But here's a special they're doing. If you wear red, white, and blue tomorrow, you can receive a free bag of range balls to warm up with before your round, something I always desperately need to do, get these old bones loosened up before I really go out and play. And they're saying here the weather should be great, which it will be. All right, now a little bit on the state scene. The next event for the Louisiana Golf Association is their junior golf tournament and championship. It's going to be played at Chifuncta Country Club in Covington, July 12th, 13th, and 14th. Nice event there. And also for the juniors, the Gulf States PGA section has rescheduled their Big Eye Junior Insurance Championship, and it's scheduled for this coming Monday, July 10th, at the Island Golf Course in Plaquemine. It's going to be two rounds in one day, in other words, 36 holes. And registration, they'll take all the way up to the 7th. So, and then a little closer to home, Jay and Lionel Hebert were PGA Golf Pros from Lafayette. In fact, they were the only golfing brothers ever to win PGA championships. Jay went in first, rather Lionel went in first in 1957, the last time it was played as a match play championship, and then his brother Jay went in 1960, a few years later, at Firestone Country Club in Akron, Ohio. So, and consequently, because of their fame and fortune, the Lafayette brothers, Jay and Lionel Hebert, they named the golf course where they grew up at. It used to be just called Muni or Municipal, right there on Mud Street, and Moss and Mud, and they named it the Hebert Municipal Golf Course, and they're having a junior tournament for ages 6 through 17 at the Hebert Junior Golf Course, or rather the Hebert Junior Golf Classic is what it's called at the Hebert Golf Course. And ages 6 to 11 play on Tuesday, July 11th. Ages 12 through 17 will play on Wednesday, July 12th. So one day after the other. Registration forms are available at the golf course. You get with your registration, and I think it's free. You get a T-shirt, drink, snack, and lunch provided for, awards presented after play. And then, let's see. The event is free of charge and is presented by, sponsored by, the Lafayette Consolidated Government Parks and Recreation. Of course, we know the Lafayette Parks and Recreation own three golf courses, Hebert Municipal being one of them. The Wetlands, their premier course, established maybe 15, 20 years ago. And then, of course, La Vaux-Chaines, which was opened up in the late 1980s. Or rather, the late 1970s. So that's Tuesday and Wednesday of next week for the kids. And then the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame had their induction last week. And my son Theodore and his wife Mary, representing UL, participated in it. David Toms, All-American from LSU and PGA Tour winner, was one of the inductees, along with Dan McDonald, the reason Theodore and Mary went. Dan McDonald, former SID for University of Louisiana, back when he was there. It was called USL. And they went to support him. And for recruiting for UL, it's been kind of been on the back burner as Theodore and company have been getting the facility ready to open up. It's a teaching facility, state-of-the-art hitting bays with the cameras and all the high technology now that these professional golfers and college golfers as well critique their swing, look at their swing, analyze their swing, and it helps them to improve, as I'll show you in an article coming up. But the grand opening at Oakbourne Country Club for this teaching facility was postponed, and it's now going to be July 13th. That's a Thursday. And it's going to be at 4 o'clock for the media. And then, like I just said, Louisiana Raging Cajuns junior Tristan Elston, he notched a round of 4 under par 68 and qualified for the Southern Amateur Championship this past Monday. And it will be the 111th running of the Southern Amateur Championship. Pretty long-standing amateur golf tournament with a lot of roots and tradition in it. And Tristan quotes, "It means a lot to me to qualify for such a huge tournament. I'm very excited to compete at such a prestigious tournament that has over 100 years of history. I feel that working with Coach Theo Sliman and the new technology at the golf facility helped to fix my game, which allowed me to put it all together, finally." And he said, "The cameras don't lie, and the new hitting facilities gives myself and our program something that we've needed to bring our game to the next level. I can't wait to compete at the Southern Amateur and carry over the success I had qualifying." So he speaks well for what a lot of the UL supporters have done for the program, golf program at UL, in collaboration and in union with the Oakbourne Country Club, as they formed a marriage, a partnership between the two of them with that three of them, one for Oakbourne and two for UL, that they'll have access to. The members at Oakbourne have access as well as Cliff Wagner, the pro there, is going to be doing a lot of teaching in that bay, and Theodore will be doing a lot of teaching in his own bay. And, of course, the players can just do it on their own. But back to the golf tournament, the 111th Southern Amateur will be July 19th through 22nd at the prestigious Country Club of North Carolina in Pinehurst, North Carolina. It doesn't get the publicity Pinehurst does, but it's as well a test, as good a test as you'll see, and it's always ranked in the top 100. So it's right there with Pinehurst. Elston was one of four players at the qualifier to advance to the Southern Amateur, joining Blake Caldwell, who had a 68. Blake plays for LSU, but his brother will be playing for UL next year. So that's something cool. George Toon had a 68, and Trey Winstead had a 69. Of course, Trey is Chuck Winstead's son, Chuck being the LSU golf coach, and Trey being a freshman there next year. So the list of golfers that are competed there are pretty prestigious in themselves. The Baton Rouge native had just one blemish on his card, posting five birdies in the round and finished strong in the final nine holes with a birdie on hole 18 to record his first competitive round in the 60s since joining Louisiana. Okay, and so that ought to do it about for our local golf news. I'll get back after the break and go over what went on the national golf scene. A lot of stuff happening, and we'll go over that and talk a little bit about, you know, why can't the scheduling be a little different, and why can't some of these commissioners of these big tours collaborate a little better and space out these tournaments. The ladies had their LPGA championship, which is the biggest major on their tour, and then the U.S. Open for the seniors was played at the same time, and maybe we'll have some discussion on that when we come outside the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to Chip Shots with Teddy on Kane Radio.
For over 30 years, Squirrel Run Golf Club has been New Iberia's premier golf community. Opened in 1986, Squirrel Run has become known as a location for golf where the whole family can enjoy. Each year, new golfers are tested by a challenging 18 holes of golf. Golf tournaments and outings at Squirrel Run are great ways to get together on the golf course. Memberships are available for those interested in joining Squirrel Run. Reserve your next tee time with Squirrel Run by contacting the Pro Shop at 337-367-0863. Squirrel Run, Darby Lane, New Iberia.
We have a new player on the field, and he's ready for kickoff with a delicious ice-cold Coca-Cola and the kick. Ice giving him a little trouble as a few cubes shake loose. He's probably going to pour it here, and he does. The glass is full. Can he go all the way? He did it! Oh, wow! And just listen to that fizz! That might have been the most refreshing thing that I've ever seen. Whew! Coca-Cola. Taste the feeling.
Sugar Oaks Golf Course, located at 4002 Sugar Oaks Road, is an 18-hole regulation golf course. This medium yardage layout has adequate length, wide fairways, and not too difficult approach shots. Sugar Oaks Golf Course is a semi-private course that's open to the public. Our guest rates are very attractive, and our monthly dues are accommodating. Give us a call for your tee time. That's Sugar Oaks Golf Course in New Iberia. Phone 337-364-7611. 364-7611.
Broadcasting between the Tesh and the Tracks, it's Kane Radio, AM 1240.
Welcome back to Chip Shots. Teddy Sliman with you here, alone in the air chair at Kane Radio. Friend and colleague Ralph Boxcar Bergeron taking the week off, and rightfully so, when see his son up in Texarkana. As we teased before the break, can't understand why two majors... And a lot of other golf writers on the Golf Channel and all were talking about this as I tuned in a little bit today. Why do they have to schedule, you know, two big events on the tours? The Senior Tour had their U.S. Open, and the LPGA had their PGA Championship. Two major events, you know, back-to-back, fighting each other, basically. Boy, and especially this weekend, you know, they could have ended it like today. One of the tours could have ended it today if they had collaborated together and figured out a way to where the ladies might have ended today and the seniors ended Sunday, you know, along with the other PGA tournament that took a backseat as well. But it's something to think about because these are big tournaments for these players. And as you can see, as we'll go through what transpired, it means a lot to them. Let's start off first with the senior Champions Tour event was played at Salem Country Club, and Kenny Perry won his second U.S. Open title and ninth overall. And overnight rain made the three nights in a row, nighttime rain, made the golf course play a little bit easier than, you know, the USGA would want. They like a tough test. They grow up the rough and tuck the pins and make it want to make it play a little bit more difficult than your regular normal every weekend tournament. To show how easy it played, Brant Jobe and Kirk Triplett shot 62s, and that's a record low for the seniors event. So Kenny Perry, he claimed that, like I said, the second Open, pulling away from Kirk Triplett at Salem Country Club, and finished at 16 under, which was the lowest score in tournament history. Kenny Perry's 56 years old. He was 2 under 68 with the record score of 264. He also won event in 2013 in Omaha, Nebraska. So that made him his second U.S. Open title. And some other notes about the senior tournament. Scott Hoke, a senior player, withdrew from the U.S. Open. He was replaced by a guy named Charlie Post, a 69-year-old amateur. Since it's an open tournament, amateurs can play. Charlie's from Colorado. He shot one better than his age, 68, which is, under difficult tournament conditions, pretty remarkable. The U.S. Senior Open is going to be played at Omaha Country Club, where Kenny Perry won it in 2013. It's going to be played there in 2021 and Sukhon Valley 2022. That's some upcoming dates for the U.S. Senior Open. And by the way, the U.S. Senior Open is only 37 years old. Its history is only 37. That's the 37th time they had the event. But yet it offers the oldest trophy awarded by the United States Golf Association. And so this is a pretty cool story. Going back to 1894 at the Tuxedo Club in New York, which invited members from Shinnecock, St. Andrews Golf Club, and the Country Club to take part in an inner club match. The Country Club returned to Brookline with the trophy, a sterling silver hourglass-shaped cup that remained in the club's possession until it was given to the United States Golf Association to display sometime in the 1950s. When the U.S. Senior Open was held for the first time in 1980 at Wingfoot, the USGA says the Country Club suggested its old trophy be given to the winner. And so it was presented. The Country Club and Golfers of Massachusetts and named it the Francis Wiemet Memorial Tournament. Roberto DiVincenzo was the first winner. He passed away recently at 94 in the Argentina. And the USGA produced a replica with the engraving of the 1894 Brookline team in 1997. Pretty cool stuff there. I like a little history. And like we said, the other conflicting tournament on the major tours was the LPGA Championship. And let's see if we got a call coming on the line here. Hello, you're on the air with Chip Shots.
Hey, Teddy.
Hey, Ralphie.
What's up, man? I forgot to call you earlier today to see if you were doing the show, so I apologize for that. But
no worries.
I'm actually on my way back from Texarkana right now. So I'm
good. How was it?
Oh, doing good, man. I had a great weekend with the kids and the grandson, and got to play a new golf course up there, so that was fun. So
good. Tell us about the golf course.
It was a place called New Haven. It was, I think if I had to guess, it was a course that originally kind of like Jennings, I think was the 9-hole course at one time, and then they added on the back nine because the difference between the front and back nine was night and day. You know, the front nine was reminding me a bunch of Iberia, just very, very short, but very, very tight. The back nine was also very tight with a lot of trees, but it had lakes on every hole, a lot of water. So, but they had just recently redone all the greens with the TIFF Eagle Bermuda. They putted really, really good. So, I hear the other phone ringing in the background. Is that another caller, or is that just business line?
It's a business line, but either way, I can't do two.
I hear you. I just didn't know if once I was gone, if the show had gotten that popular when you had called.
Well, maybe so, you know.
Well, maybe the missing link, huh?
Yeah. So where are you?
Yeah, but man, I ended up shooting two over par, so it was really a good round. You know, felt pretty good about it. It was, if I had to describe it, it would be a mix between the greens, but like, I guess between Sugar Oaks and Squirrel Run, you know, they kind of, they were as full as Sugar Oaks, but they putted more like Squirrel Run, if that makes any sense, you know. But it was a nice mix, and man, played it really, really fast. I played by myself. Cody was on, he actually got called in on at the hospital, but played 18 holes in less than 2 hours in a cart, so.
Wow.
That was fun. But
so where are you now?
What's that?
Where are you now?
Right now, I am about 30 minutes outside of Natchitoches.
Oh,
so
wow.
So I should be back home around 8:30, something like that.
Yeah, well, be safe.
Plan on playing tomorrow morning, you know, so if we have an 8:30 tee time or something like that.
Right, I'm not going to be able to tee it up with y'all, but y'all have fun.
Oh, you can't.
See you after.
So what else has been going on, man?
No, just nice weather, and, you know, we're talking a little bit about the conflict between the LPGA and the Senior Open. Both of those big championships were played, you know, simultaneously.
Yeah.
And I heard one of the golf commentators on the Golf Channel, you know, saying that they really should work together to try to, you know, implement a system where they can collaborate and not have the tournament finish on the same days. And the guy was saying, you know, why not one of the tours end up on Monday, especially with this holiday weekend. It would have been a perfect ending. You know, everybody's on vacation and stuff. And
right.
It would have made great TV, what have you. And I think it was a good idea, good suggestion.
Yeah. Well, I was looking kind of, I didn't get to watch any of it, but I was kind of looking at the some of the notes from the PGA Tour event this past weekend. And a couple of things stood out. Number one, what a final round by Ricky Fowler to make 9 birdies at that golf course. I mean, I know that the rain softened it up a lot, but man, had it not been for a couple of miscues in that final round, he could well have come back from off the charts to win that tournament, you know?
Right.
He had a double and 2 bogeys to go with that. But the one that really shocked me was I think it's Sung Kang, had a 5-foot putt to tie for the lead, birdie putt on 16, and then forgot to, or, you know, because it had a 0% chance of rain, had no rain gear in his bag, and got soaking wet, missed the putt that made double in 17 by putting in the water, and he just blamed it on him being, you know,
ill-prepared,
drenched, you know. And I don't think I've ever heard of a PGA Tour pro ever going out for a round without being prepared for the possible worst case scenario, you know.
Well, that's bad on his caddy, you know. His caddy should know better than that. You never take anything for granted.
Yeah. Even if you didn't have the umbrella, at least have, or one or the other. You'd have umbrella and no rain gear. More importantly, I think for the player, have the rain gear. If you happened to not have packed the umbrella, at least, you know, he wouldn't have got all wet. And but, I mean, ultimately, man, that's a bad faux pas, because that cost him a lot of money, man. He still, I think, qualified for the Open Championship, which is good for him. But, I mean, it's a tough break.
Certainly is. You got to be prepared all the time, you know. So
And it's just it amazes me how guys come out of nowhere.
You're breaking up on me, bud.
No, so I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I said, still continues to amaze me on the tour how guys can seemingly come out of nowhere, and, you know, you had 2 guys basically in the playoff, although Charles Howell's been playing better recently, but he's coming off an injury. And, but Kyle Stanley, you know, I mean, hadn't won since, you know, 5 years and, you know, just on what must have been a very difficult golf course, because the cut was, really high.
Mm-hmm.
and, you know, pulls off this victory. So it just goes to show you the quality of the play these days. I think except for the majors, when you know, you only have – I think a lot of guys are eliminated before they start. But in a regular PGA Tour event, if those 144 guys that tee it up, I think you legitimately have about 100 every week that probably have a chance to win, you know, and that's saying something.
Yeah, they have more players nowadays that have a chance to win. And like you said, you know, outside the majors, because pretty much the majors, it takes its toll and the cream comes to the top. But one of the strange things about Kyle Stanley, well, like you said, both of them were, you know, they both only have two wins apiece. You know, it's been, I think Charles Howell has 16 seconds, so he was.
Oh my God!
Yeah, he's a bridesmaid for sure. But the check he won, like almost $800,000, and then this amazed me. It pushed his career earnings to $33 million, which puts him 21st on the all-time list. And you know, you don't think a guy like Charles Howell can be, you know, win that much money. You know, he hasn't done too much. But Kyle Stanley, he joined Jason Duffner, who won a couple of weeks ago at the Memorial Tournament, as the only two winners to win with a negative strokes gain putting. That amazed me. That shows you how well both of those guys, Jason Duffner and Kyle Stanley, hit the ball to win the
game,
you know. Because usually you win some good putting, you know, usually.
Right. Yeah, it didn't make any putts, but hit the ball very close into the hole, apparently.
Yeah.
He was noted. I'm sorry.
He's noted as one of the worst putters on the tour, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. But, yeah, you know, I was thinking about that driving back today, you know, with Howell and how many times, because I remember when he came out on tour and he was, you know, he kind of had that moniker of possibly being the next big thing. You know, there was a, and I was just going back and thinking, how many guys over the years have we said, you know, man, this might be the next great player. This might be, you know, and you know, they just never pan out. You know, and it's
it really
makes you appreciate the guys who do achieve. You know, and the guys like a Jim Furyk, who you would say would never get do anything on tour, and as you know, ground out the kind of career he has, you know.
Yeah, Charles Howell was had a stellar junior career, and like you said, tagged to be the next big thing. And sometimes success comes too early; it goes away pretty fast, you know. And they lose that sense of having to work real hard to continue to be good and get better.
And I don't know if it's you know the work, like the working hard part, or the expectations are so lofty that they don't take the baby steps. You know what I mean? Before you win a major, you have to win a tournament. Well, not necessarily, okay? Because, I mean, we had people who won majors their first time. But normally, the path to success is to kind of, you know, get yourself in the mix, get in the hunt, get in contention. But what it shows me with 16 second-place finishes, either one or two things. He's so far back on Sundays, he doesn't feel pressure, and then he can, you know, kind of freewheeling on a Sunday and shoot a good round, or he's right there in the mix and he chokes coming down the stretch, you know. But, I mean, that's unheard of, in my opinion. I mean, you can look at Jack's record, how many second places Jack had, but how many victories did he have, you know.
Yeah, his winning percentage is a little bit better than Charles Howell, for sure.
Yeah, but his percentage, yeah, to have one time, you said, or twice for Howell?
He won twice. Since 2007,
so
he came on the tour.
You have a 1-8 ratio between winning and finishing second. That's extremely, extremely high, you know. So that, I think the case of him not being able to finish is more of the case than you know, coming up from behind the pack, you know. So,
right.
And just some people just, you know, they just, I mean, like you said, but what the hell are we to sneeze at $33 million, you know.
Amazing.
God, I know all things are, you know, you have to put in perspective in the era you're living in, but, you know, a guy like that, in my opinion, shouldn't be the 21st ranked money earner of all time, you know.
Yeah, just shows you where the money is, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
If you talk about, you know, what we were saying, winning percentages, number of tournaments won, those have more value probably than money. But nonetheless, he's won $33 million.
I mean, that's absurd, you know, yeah. absurd amount of money. But
all right,
anyway.
Look, I'm going to have to clear a break. Hope and pray okay. you have a safe trip back, a nice 4th of July, and we'll welcome you back next Monday if I don't see you before then.
Yeah, man, thank you so much for filling in for me, and I apologize again for not calling you earlier today to let you know, but you know, you got to, I mean, you know better than I do that you got to cherish those moments with the kids when you can, you know.
And, absolutely.
You know, my only regret was we didn't get to play golf together. We had actually talked about doing it today, but then they had some rain this morning, so I ended up just doing a little grilling for lunch and, you know, headed back, left around 3:30. So.
Okay, we'll be safe, and we'll see you soon.
All right, buddy. Well, thanks again. And,
okay.
And yeah, we'll see you. And again, the pro-am's still on for Thursday, right?
Yeah, the weather should be good. It looks clear all week, so up until Thursday.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to that for sure.
Okay, good.
All right,
well,
bud. See you then.
I'll talk to you about that. I'm going to need a ride with you,
okay.
Ben, but I'll explain it later.
All right. Good deal.
All right, buddy.
For over 30 years, Squirrel Run Golf Club has been New Iberia's premier golf community. Opened in 1986, Squirrel Run has become known as a location for golf where the whole family can enjoy. Each year, new golfers are tested by a challenging 18 holes of golf. Golf tournaments and outings at Squirrel Run are great ways to get together on the golf course. Memberships are available for those interested in joining Squirrel Run. Reserve your next tee time with Squirrel Run by contacting the Pro Shop at 337-367-0863. Squirrel Run, Darby Lane, New Iberia.
TheGolfBalls.com Retail Center features 20,000 square feet of golf equipment and gear and is the largest golf retailer in Louisiana. While it lasts, check out their summer clearance sale, where you'll find marked down prices on shirts, shoes, clubs, and more from brands such as Callaway, Bridgestone, Under Armour, and TaylorMade. Located in the Boulevard Shopping Center on Arnold Boulevard next to Harbor Freight Tools and, of course, online at golfballs.com. We're in your bag.
Hello, Acadiana. This is your old buddy Boudreaux letting you know that we are now open at 1752 Center Street in New Iberia, Louisiana, selling the freshest seafood around. Shrimp, lobster, crab, and crawfish. So come today by Boudreaux's Cajun Crab Shack. We are located at 1752 Center Street in New Iberia next to Progressive Martial Arts with plenty of room to park. Man, you're going to bust a gut at Boudreaux's Cajun Crab Shack.
Find us online and streaming at Kane1240.com.
Kane Radio, AM 1240.
Welcome back to Chip Shots. Teddy Sliman with you here, and a nice chat with my compadre and partner, Raul Boxcar Basmero, as we cover the PGA Tour main event. One other thing Boxcar and I didn't talk about was, you know, with it being a patriotic weekend, they did a great tribute to the military. They had a big poster, a huge one, on a wall, and people signed it. And put their thoughts about America and about our government and about our military. And then each day, and it was filled. It was chock-a-block full each day. And they sent it to the troops overseas to encourage them for the great work they're doing for our country. And once again, may God continue to bless us here in America. And God bless the Quicken Loans for doing that. Played at TPC Potomac in Bethesda, Maryland. All right, now we'll talk about what I was going to talk about before Boxcar called, and that's the LPGA tournament, their feature championship. Looks like we got another caller coming on the line, so let's see if we got somebody. That seems like it's the business line ringing. It's not lighting up here on the telos board. So anyway, they must not be listening. If you are, call back. 367-1240 is our number. Because you're calling on the line, I can't answer. So let me turn off that background music. And then we'll get to the ladies' PGA. And this is a heartwarming story. Daniel Kang birdied the final hole to win the KPMG Women's PGA Championship on Sunday for her first PGA Tour title. Boxcar and I were talking about it's not usually let's go back to the phones lines. All right, they're all lighting up now. Hello, you're on the air with Chip Shots.
Teddy, it's me one more time, man. I forgot to tell you, this golf course I played you know how we had this discussion before. It had the perfect mix of par threes. The first par three was 92 yards. Wow. Almost made a hole in one. The second one was 126. The third one was 176. And the last one was 210. So you talk about a range, but it was perfect because you got to, you know, hit a short iron, another kind of semi-short iron, a medium iron, and then I hit three wood and couldn't get to the 210-yard one. But I wish more courses would do that.
Boy, you're right. I'm glad you called back. Thanks for that info.
All right, Teddy.
Be careful.
See you.
All right, bye.
All
right, man. All right, Boxcar, tuning in again. Back to the LPGA Championship. We're talking about Daniel Kang and the birdie she made on the final hole to win the tournament. Our first PGA tournament, like Boxcar and I were talking about, first-time winner. She wins a major. Wow. She defeated defending champion Brooke Henderson from Canada. It was another great finish for LPGA's second major of the season. The 19-year-old Henderson beat Lydia Ko in a playoff in Chehalis in Washington. The 24-year-old Kang trailed Henderson and Chelak Choi by one stroke after bogeying the par 4 10th hole at Olympia Fields, a great golf course. Kang's previous best finish, get this, in the major was a tie for 14th in the 2012 U.S. Women's Open. Henderson made a strong birdie for a second title, but she failed in the end. But the Canadian had nine straight pars in the middle of the round and then ended up succumbing to her. Some notes. One of the things I think is really special about Kang, her daddy died at age 52 of brain cancer about 4 years ago. And in honor of him, she was very close to him. He taught her the game and he caddied for her, what have you. She tattooed in Korean the name Dad, D-A-D, on her hand in Korean. And she says that every time she shakes somebody's hand, they meet her dad as well because they see that dad there. And he was caddying for her, so that's why she was really emotional with the win. But some other stories about it. She was caddying. He was caddying for her when she won. She won two U.S. amateurs. And they give you a ring, and she gave her the ring to her daddy. And her mother said, well, where's my ring? So years later, she went out and won another U.S. amateur and got that second ring. And her dad said, I guess we better give this to your mom. So good, cool story there. She snapped 143-event no-win streak. Can you imagine 143 tournaments and then she comes up with a major? And she got a lot of popular congratulations from some famous people here. Wayne Gretzky, of course, that's Dustin Johnson's father-in-law-to-be. She also got a great text from Marcus Allen and then from Dustin Johnson himself, as all three of them, and some other celebrities as well, played golf at Sherwood Country Club in Los Angeles. And that's where they got to be friends and note that. It ended American drought for women. She's only the second U.S.-born champion in the past 17 years for the LPGA Championship, which shows you how much the foreigners are taking over. Brooke Henderson closed with a 66. Like I said, she was the defending champion, but ended up a little bit short. All right, and then we'll end up before we take our next break with the European Tour. And Englishman, it was played in France, but Englishman Tommy Fleetwood hit a flawless 5-under par 66 to win the French Open, one shot over Peter Uihlein of the United States. Fleetwood had five birdies and no bogeys to finish at 12-under par, while Uihlein just failed to force a playoff after making a late charge. Tommy Fleetwood's 26 years old, and of course he's going and playing in the U.S. Open next month. And this was his third European Tour win and second of the year, clinching the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship in January ahead of Dustin Johnson and Pablo Larrazabal. And as our focus narrows now on the third major of the year, which is the Open Championship, Tommy Fleetwood seems to be a dark horse or one that you should consider if you're in a betting pool. He grew up just 5 minutes from Worrall Birkdale, which will be the host of this year's Open Championship. And he used to sneak on the course as a youngster, and there's no way to tell, but he'll go under the radar for sure, like I said, and he should be on everybody's at least top 10 list. Fleetwood rose to number 15 in the world. Really, like we just said, he's underappreciated, and he got under the radar. Nobody really knows about this guy. But the Englishman, he can play, you know. He placed second in World Golf Championship in Mexico in addition to the two wins I just mentioned. He posted another top 10 finish on European Tour's flagship event and finished fourth in the U.S. Open. You know, his name was up there on the leaderboard for quite some time. So Tommy Fleetwood, a name I think you'll be seeing a lot of. He's only 26 years old. All right, we'll clear our last break, and then we're back to wrap it up here on Chip Shots. Stay tuned.
Sugar Oaks Golf Course, located at 4002 Sugar Oaks Road, is an 18-hole regulation golf course. This medium yardage layout has adequate length, wide fairways, and not too difficult approach shots. Sugar Oaks Golf Course is a semi-private course that's open to the public. Our guest rates are very attractive, and our monthly dues are accommodating. Give us a call for your tee time. That's Sugar Oaks Golf Course in New Iberia. Phone 337-364-7611. 364-7611.
We have a new player on the field, and he's ready for kickoff with a delicious ice-cold Coca-Cola. And the kick. Ice giving him a little trouble as a few cubes shake loose. He's probably going to pour it here, and he does. The glass is full. Can he go all the way? He did it! Oh, wow! And just listen to that fizz! That might have been the most refreshing thing that I've ever seen. Whew! Coca-Cola. Taste the feeling.
The GolfBalls.com Retail Center features 20,000 square feet of golf equipment and gear and is the largest golf retailer in Louisiana. While it lasts, check out their summer clearance sale, where you'll find marked down prices on shirts, shoes, clubs, and more from brands such as Callaway, Bridgestone, Under Armour, and TaylorMade. Located in the Boulevard Shopping Center on Arnold Boulevard next to Harbor Freight Tools, and of course online at GolfBalls.com. We're in your bag.
Hey, this is Jeff Boggs for Electrical Innovators. Don't forget to visit them at 939 James Street in New Iberia to register for a free generator worth over $1,000. Check them out, 939 James Street.
All the sweetness without the bagass. Kane Radio, AM 1240.
367-1240, Teddy Sliman with you here if you want to jump on board and talk a little golf over the next 10 minutes or so. About to wrap it up here on Chip Shots, and welcome in the 4th of July. Hope all y'all have a great one as well. All right, some of the changes on the PGA Tour. I'd like to go over that. PGA Tour is constantly changing, and like we talked about a little bit, they need to collaborate with each other, you know, all the tours, to ensure that golfers and those who like to watch and spectate and watch golf on TV – you can get the full enjoyment. But in 1983, the tour began some changes. It came up with the all-exempt tour. Then 1986, right after that, the World Golf Rankings were created. And then in 1999, the World Golf Championships. And then, of course, in 2007, the FedEx Cup and its four-tournament playoff system came. It's kind of like it wanted to do what they do in professional football or basketball, you know, and have a playoff to see who was the best player and $10 million reward. So, and then just recently in 2013 and 14, the wraparound season came. And, of course, the golf, you know, like I just said, the season's really long. It gets crowded and jammed up as tournaments overlap each other, important tournaments like we just experienced this past weekend. Something needs to be – they need all the commissioners need to get together and look at it and see what can be done to make golf more enjoyable for us, the TV viewers, as well as spectators, as well as for the game of golf. And the PGA is doing this because they went and opened up an office in London, England. It's a bold move, and I don't know what their intentions are for doing that. I guess we'll see as it grows and prospers or whatever. But maybe they're attempting to protect their own brand across the seas, you know, requiring players to play, and they're doing that now, playing in an event, at least one new event every 4 years. So, and then they're collaborating. The RNA, which are the governing bodies, and the USGA are collaborating, and they're getting together to form a joint committee that will work towards developing a single golf handicap system instead of the six that are currently in effect. So right now, golf handicaps are administered by the USGA, Golf Australia, Argentina Golf, South African Golf, European Golf, and the Council of National Golf Unions with Great Britain and Ireland. So it's a confusing handicap system. They're trying to come up with one. And once again, this is for the betterment of the game and to help the game grow, which we all should be interested in. At least all of us who love the game of golf, you know, should be interested in doing things to help the game grow. Here's some very, very interesting news, and it's kind of conflicting. But two-time NBA National Basketball Association MVP Stephen Curry is set to test his golf game against the pros. The Web.com Tour said Wednesday that Curry, coming off his second NBA championship as Golden State beat Cleveland, he's going to participate in the Ellie Mae Classic at TPC Stonebridge on August 3 through 6th. It'll be the first PGA Tour sanctioned event for Curry, who has competed in various celebrity events and pro-ams. The top 25 on the Web.com Tour regular season-ending list earns a PGA Tour card, and this brings up a bone of contention, and I can see both ways. There's been a lot of scuttlebug about, you know, why are they allowing a basketball player to play in a golf event, in a professional golf event? It interferes with another player who's trying to earn his living by playing golf on a tour. And it comes at a peculiar time as the Web.com Tour is gradually ending its season and playing opportunities for these players who are trying to make a living at playing golf or you know, becoming fewer. And it could mean the difference for next season, 2017-18 season. But then on the other side of the coin, you know, it's what they called an unrestricted sponsors event. You know, these tournaments, the Web.com Tour, the PGA Tour, all the tours wouldn't have these big prizes if it wouldn't be for major sponsors. They put up the big bucks for these guys to play for. Certainly the money doesn't come from gate receipts. But yet, you know, they have to take care of the spectators and us that love the game of golf and like to watch it. So this is going to create a lot of buzz for this tournament. And, of course, the gate receipts will increase. And, you know, it favors the sponsor, but, heck, he's putting up the money. So, once again, I can see both sides of that coin. And lightning, they say, strikes twice. Well, it certainly did for a guy named Mike Butticonelli. Last two or three weeks ago, American Airlines lost his golf clubs. He was trying to qualify for the U.S. Open, and when he got at the site where he was trying to qualify, his clubs didn't make it, so obviously he didn't get to play in the tournament with no clubs. Well, he was traveling to Heathrow in London, the airport there, and lo and behold, he's trying to qualify for the British Open coming up in a couple of weeks. No golf clubs. Thankfully, they showed up on the next flight, and he didn't miss his qualifying because that would have been really bad luck. And here's a story out of Houston. The golf course in Houston is called, it got vandalized. The golf club of Houston where they played, the Shell, it had some disheartening news. It's got vandalized by, but the vandals have been caught. They spun tires on the green and created donuts, you know, and they have to repair the green, several greens. Three times this has happened over the last year or so, since 2016. But the vandals were caught, and they were teenagers. Shame on them. And they were on ATVs. The general manager, Sergio Salazar, he drove along the bank of a bayou that circles the golf course, and he saw the ATVs, and he notified Brian Buckner, who was he's the director of agronomy at Houston Golf Course, and an off-duty police officer. They got together, and they followed the guys on the club's ATVs and followed them and found them and thankfully arrested them. So justice will prevail. All right, and we're talking about the Open Championship at Royal Birkdale, and that's going to be July 20th through 23rd. The defending champion is Hendrick Stenson. The opposite field event here in the United States is going to be the Barbasol Championship at a golf course. Bosco and I had the pleasure of playing 4 or 5 years ago. Robert Trent Rhone's trail called the Grand National in Auburn, Alabama. And so the Barbasol will be played there. The defending champion is Aaron Baddeley. And Charlie Hoffman had a good chance to become exempt for the British Open at Colonial, but he failed. But then, thankfully, the next week at the U.S. Open, he made good on his chance, and he had a bogey-free round, final round at Erin Hills in the U.S. Open to finish 8th in the U.S. Open, closed with a 64 at the Travelers Championship, and jutted up to number 20 in the FedEx Cup points. So Charlie Hoffman will be playing in the British Open. And then one quick note I'll end on here is the LPGA Tour players. We talked about them a lot. They hit the ball more accurately than the PGA Tour players. Thomas Akin is the most accurate driver on the PGA Tour. He has 74 fairways percentage, would rank him 42nd on the LPGA Tour. The LPGA Tour leader is Mo Martin. She hits an astounding 88% of her fairways. I always said I wanted to see a tournament where the ladies and men teamed up together, and the ladies would hit, the men would hit their tee shots, and because the men are a lot stronger, and, you know, they plan courses that are a lot bigger, but they hit the ball so much further, why not switch? Let the ladies hit from their approach shots, and they hit from theirs, and see how they would feel about that. Wow, I don't think that would go over too well. Anyway, we're hoping to pray you have a happy and safe 4th of July, and once again, when you're visiting with your family and friends tomorrow, barbecuing or whatever you're going to be doing, take time out and say a little prayer for our country, for our leaders, our government leaders on the national, state, and local level. Pray that God continues to bless our country with outstanding leaders, and may God continue to bless you and your families. Stay tuned. We got Louisiana Network News up next. Have a safe and holy, happy 4th of July.
In the shadows of the Tesh, KANE Radio. AM 1240, New Iberia.